are going to be in the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews. Oh, thank you. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 is where we'll start. In the early parts of the chapter, writer of Hebrews talks about how God intended man to rule the earth, and everything being in subjection unto him. He lost some of that reign when he sinned against God, and so he doesn't have that complete subjection. But now Jesus comes, and one day he will have that complete subjection. Pick it up in verse 9. But now we see Jesus, chapter 2, verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, or was fitting to him, fitting for us, became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, God, you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray, God, that you would help me ministering your word. I pray you'd fill my dear wife with your spirit, relaying the message in sign. Be with those who would be in the nursery, Father, watching children. Father, bless them and keep them there. Fill with thy spirit. Thankful for each one here with us this morning, those with us online as well. And God, we just pray that Christ would be lifted up, Lord, that we would be found faithful. We would draw closer to you. And we always pray, and our desire is, God, that as your word goes out from this place, Father, that souls would be saved, lives would be changed, and God, that we would be more in your image. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I'm not sure if they got the right one there. It's just a Sunday a.m. sermon. Yeah. I know I'm a little confusing because I'm on there. I'm in Hebrews. I'm on Wednesday night now, too. So, yeah, just Sunday a.m. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. So as we look at the book of Hebrews, I've entitled the message this morning, Marvelous, Infinite, Matchless Grace. And we need to pull that over a little bit or something. Oh, there we go. Okay. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. We think about the Hebrews, about the book of Hebrews. It is all about how much better the new covenant is and all the things of Christ, how much better it is than the old covenant. And we think about that. We are in the church age, we call it. Paul referred to it in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. So it's the dispensation of grace. God is pouring out his grace to the world through the gospel of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Any and everyone who will have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ will immediately be born again. And ushered into his kingdom. God has chosen to deal with mankind by dispensing to him his grace through Christ Jesus. No man ever kept the law before then. By the way, no man has kept the law afterwards. But God said there wouldn't one little part of the law pass away until all was fulfilled. And guess who came and did that? Jesus did for us. And that, and there and only by that manner could the law be set aside as far as trying to attain righteousness. And it can, righteousness now can only be attained without the law. If you think in any way you're earning your righteousness, you haven't even come close, all right? Christ did it for us. God commands and demands a perfect righteousness, and he offers that to all who will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. He will give you a perfect position in Christ that will never change the moment you do that. And because you have a heart change after that, you will begin to want to seek righteous things. You will begin to change from the inside out. The law gave commands to obey on the outside, and you try to meet those. God put his spirit on the inside where we have a desire to be like that, a desire to be like Christ, a desire to know him and love him. God's work is doing an inside job, amen? And thank God for that. Jesus Christ came. The Bible says in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And John also says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. In other words, grace upon grace. Can I tell you something? We can't handle truth without grace. Amen. But we will be drawn to the truth through grace. Amen. And we will be changed to conform to his image by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm talking about grace this morning. We've all heard the definitions of grace. Grace meaning unmerited favor. A goodness from God, perhaps, that we do not deserve. And that certainly is true. Grace would have another definition in the way that the Bible uses it as well. It could be described as the divine influences of God upon the heart of man. Those changes which God makes, and that power working is oftentimes referred to his grace. And we will see that as we look into the message this morning. The book of Hebrews, interestingly enough, the book of Hebrews mentions grace 7 times in the book. So we have kind of the number of perfection there, or completion. 7 times grace is mentioned. We are in the dispensation of grace, according to the Apostle Paul. Hebrews is about how much better this dispensation is than everything that has preceded it. And so we're going to dip into that a little bit this morning about marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Looking at this grace, we'll look at point number one. We see that, number one, that by grace we are saved. Number one, by grace we are saved. We're going to look at these passages in Hebrews 2:9. Now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, and was crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. And there it is, speaking about the provision that God has made for every man, every human being to be saved. Jesus Christ, if you're a human being, died in your place. Amen. And he rose again. And it was God's grace that he would taste of death for you and I, that we might be saved, that we could find the forgiveness of sins. Grace is mentioned 100 or so times in our New Testament. This covenant, which Hebrews is telling us and showing us, is so much better. We think about the truths surrounding grace that make it so wonderful. Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love toward us in that what while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's that substitutionary death. He died in my place and in your place. As a matter of fact, he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, John tells us in 1 John. So the price is paid, but it must be received with repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, we are saved. And so God stepped in, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were all lost. We all needed Jesus to die in our place. Grace. We've all may have heard the definition, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. We've heard that that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." There's the riches of God at Christ's expense. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. And we can receive salvation. Salvation is, by the way, very clearly we learn from the Bible, many verses, it is a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." This thing isn't of works. "And not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift. Doesn't come by our good works, and it's not kept by our good works, okay? It is a gift. It is a gift. I love Romans 3, 23 and 24. It puts the gospel so succinctly. Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," then verse 24 says, "being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." My redemption has nothing to do with what I do for or by God. It has everything of what Jesus Christ did for me before God. Amen. And in my place. And when we receive that salvation, we'll be changed. But we don't earn any part of it. Christ earned that for us. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. But the gift of God, what? Is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we rejoice in such a awesome salvation because it was the blood of Christ that had to purchase it for us. You know, we sing on a hill far away, and we sing in those verses of the old rugged cross, we sing, "We're on a hill far away." And we talk about where the dearest and best, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The dearest thing to God's heart, his Son, the most perfect, God himself, dying, giving. There couldn't have been a greater price. And yet, offered to us freely. We sing, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." Praise the Lord. And we go on praising. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a free gift. The president, when he takes office, has the power to pardon federal crimes. And the president can pardon for federal crimes whom he will. But the thing is, Jesus Christ is the God of heaven. God is the God of heaven. And he has provided a pardon. And he can pardon sins against him. Amen. And against heaven. to any and to anyone and in any way he chooses. And by the way, we've just considered the way he chose. Amen. He chose to save through his blessed Son. And he'll forgive. He'll give a pardon to anyone who will receive him. What a marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, as the song goes. I thought it made a stunning illustration of grace. Here's, grace has been defined like this. Grace is the fragrance that a rose leaves upon the heel that crushed it. Think about that. Grace is the fragrance a rose leaves upon the heel that crushed it. Look what the world did to Jesus. Let me back up. Look what my sins did to Jesus. Amen. And look what he did for me. What a contrast. Amen. What a glorious grace. Grace. We are by grace we are saved. Point number two, flying over Hebrews and perusing through this book, Hebrews 10:29. Now here, some believers who possibly have been saved are thinking about adding law, making it a requirement for salvation. Some, maybe who aren't saved, are thinking maybe they need to keep the law too to get saved. Both of those are wrong. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding them, those that are saved, he says, if you turn away now, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What he's saying is, if you're saved, the Spirit has set you aside for God's glory. You have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have become God's possession. And the warning here is, now if you try to add works to that, you are God's possession. He still loves you. You're God's child, but you will face his chastening. And he's trying to get them to turn back from that. By the way, if you're not saved and you're trying to add works to your salvation, you'll never get saved. And he's kind of rebuking them in that context there. But in the context we see, it's the Spirit of grace that sanctifies us, that sets us apart for the glory of God. We're saved by grace. We're sanctified or set apart for God's glory by the Spirit, by grace. The Spirit of grace. We have received both the letter, we have all the commandments, and the Spirit. In other words, nobody ever kept all the commandments. What does the law say? Paul wrote in Romans, therefore we conclude that he says that there's no flesh justified by the law. And he goes on to say, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We only learn about sin by the commandments because we don't keep them. And there shall no flesh be justified by the law. We're justified by his blood, by grace, and without the deeds of the law. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, Paul concluded in Romans there. What a marvelous grace. But we're saved by this wonderful, marvelous grace. So don't go trying to add works to it. Don't dare do that, is what he's saying in this passage here in Hebrews. God will change you from the inside out. Don't put anything else on anybody to get saved other than repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think God's going to love you more after you're saved because you do more good stuff. No, his love is all poured out, all available to you through what Jesus Christ has already done to you. And he's warning them about that. Don't go back. Don't go those paths. After we've trusted in Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13. And that stern warning he's giving us in Hebrews is, he says, for whom too much is given, much is required. You see, we've been given the commandments, They show us how to love God and how to love one another, don't they? But we've also been given something the Old Testament saints and Old Testament people didn't have. The indwelling, never-leaving Spirit of God, okay? They had the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God working through them. The Bible says they had the Spirit. The prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. But David saw what? He saw the Spirit forsake Saul, didn't he? And an evil spirit take over Saul. That can't happen to a believer. We have the indwelling, never-leaving Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And therefore, we are to whom much is what? Given? Much is required. We now can follow God. We now can be disciples. And we ought to be pursuing that. Now, we still won't do it perfectly. And we'll see why here as we go on. But we have that grace to help us. By grace, we are sanctified, set apart. We belong to God. What? Know ye not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. You know, the Bible says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And so we are here for God's service. By grace, we are sanctified, set apart, sealed for God's use. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Follow the Lord. Point number three, perusing through Hebrews. By grace we may serve. The two covenants. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What happened? The law was set apart, wasn't it? And the new covenant came in. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying here now is, this is it. Nothing is going to change this. Do you realize that you have all the Holy Spirit right now that you'll have in heaven? You will never have any more of the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit is a being. He is the third person of the Trinity. And so he is all in you. The only difference is we don't have all of ourselves yielded to him. That's the difference upon the earth. In heaven, the old nature that we yield to, the sins that we yield to because, frankly, we choose them at times, and we still have a love for them that needs to be diminished by the Spirit, and so we choose them sometimes. That old nature will be taken out in heaven, and it'll just be Christ shining through us. And so we want to live for him. We want to follow him. We are enabled to serve him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We labor, and that word has the idea that we may be pleasing unto him. We're laboring to please him. Think about this new birth. The Bible calls it a new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. When one becomes a child of God through faith in Jesus, he said to be born again. At the moment of regeneration or conception, the Holy Spirit of God indwells the newborn believer. The Holy Spirit becomes the cord of life, which unites the believer with the Father and the Son. I'm getting my car ahead of the horse here. A baby is born into the world with an umbilical cord. When that baby is within the womb, that cord is giving that baby all the nutrients it needs and helping it to grow. When the baby comes out of the womb, what happens? The cord is cut. And the baby will what? Grow up and become less and less dependent upon the parent. You see that? As the baby grows. It's the opposite with being born again. We deceive ourselves before we're saved, and we think we have no need for God. I almost say, before you're saved, you don't need God. That's not true, because you're breathing his air with the lungs that he made for you, okay? So before we're saved, we think we don't need God, but when we're born again, we realize we need him, And by the way, when we're born again, the cord is connected. It's that cord of your love, cord of love. We sing this song, bound to him eternally, what? By love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. We need that cord. And we need to grow more and more dependent upon him as we grow in the Christian life, more and more dependent. Because we're united by that Spirit within us and growing more dependent upon him. Think about this. We think about Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You know, that branch is abiding in the vine. It is continually receiving nutrients from the vine. It needs that connection all the time. What happens when you cut it off? It withers up and dries up and loses that spiritual vitality and the scripture says, becomes unfruitful. You can be an unfruitful Christian if we're not walking with the Lord. It doesn't mean we're not talking about losing your salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, when the branch is cut off, men gather them and burn them. In other words, you become useless to men. It's not talking about any about hell and about eternal burning. It's talking about in the illustration, when the branch is off the vine, they just become useless to men. And so what do they do? Well, they throw them away and burn them. It's not teaching hell there. We become useless to men if we're not abiding in the vine. And that's why God wants us to abide in the vine. By grace we may serve. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul writes, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, what made all the difference? Grace. We serve by grace. That's that cord that's connected there. We serve whereby we let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. If we're going to be used of God, we must surrender our pride and realize that we are constantly dependent upon that vine, constantly to be drawing from him. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It's interesting that when Paul ends all of his letters, he ends it with that salutation. Grace, God's grace be with you. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. And here he reminds us, he's not excluding himself. I'm only serving God by his grace, which was with me. And so that's what we need. Paul never served with I am able or an I have arrived attitude, did he? He recognized he was fully dependent upon God's grace at all times. Paul referred to himself multiple times as he grew in the Lord. He referred to himself, first of all, as less than the least of, or not meet to be called an apostle. The next time, a little bit later in his Christian life, He says he's less than the least of saints. And when he was most mature in life, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The more he grew in the Lord, the smaller he became in his own sight. And the more he realized he needed to be more like the Lord. And by the way, that's the way it works with you and I. Walking in Christ, he will continually to reveal his glory to us. And we'll not run into pride if we abide in him. If we're walking in pride, we've left the abiding in him somewhere along the line. Because no one with their eyes focused upon Jesus is going to have a sense of pride. Amen? And God will lead us through that. By grace, we may serve. By grace, fourthly, by grace, we are sustained. We are sustained. In Hebrews chapter 12 here, this passage here, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is telling them, God wants you to be an example. God wants you to be an example worthy of following. Just some thoughts I want to put together. We're talking about being salt and light. Brother Travis shared that this morning. Talked about how the light isn't ours. The moon has no light of its own. It merely reflects the sun. We think about that in salvation. What does God want us to do to the world? Reflect the sun. He's only our own because he's in us. Remember how the Apostle Paul referred to his salvation? He said, for when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, what does God want to see through me? Not a better Bob. He wants to see Jesus Christ. God put Jesus Christ in you, believer, so he could reveal his Son through you. Amen? Think about that. Think about this passage along with that. Paul said to what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Who is your salvation? Jesus Christ. So what he's saying there is, he who is on the inside, let him shine through you in full force unto the outside. See, all his light is in us. The only thing that we can do is cover it. We can hide it under a bushel. We can put it in a corner. We can let our flesh get in the way of it and shroud that light. And what God is saying is, I have saved you that you might reveal my Son in you. I want you to work out your... The more you'll yield to me, the more people will see his Son through me, through you and me. Amen? That's what will draw people to Christ. Amen? It'll be Christ himself shining through you and shining through me. And make no mistake about it, the Holy Spirit is no less than one with the Father and the Son. Amen? And he will shine through you and I. That's what God's working at. That people see Christ and through you and I. And we're sustained by that. By that very power that God gives us. So he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So some people were tending to stray, and he says, I want you to be looking out for others in case they fail of the grace of God. Now, what does it mean, fail of the grace of God? It's talking about like a stream fails. You know, when the snow melts and the rain runs down the mountain, and then the sun comes up, what? And the streams in the desert evaporate away and they disappear. They fail. The streams fail. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, watch out for your brethren, because they might run out of the grace of God. How do we do that? By not going to the throne of grace. Amen. To obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If someone's not going to God for more grace, why not? Amen. This is the dispensation of grace. This is where God wants to pour out grace upon you and I. You say, well, preacher, but I'm not worthy. That's the whole point. That's what grace is. See, God will never turn back a believer that's calling upon him for deliverance. Amen. You might have fallen into a sin 1,000 times, and if you truly want to be helped this time, he'll hear you. He'll hear you. He'll give more grace. which I think is one of my next passages. Let us therefore what? Come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James talks about that, this grace that sustains us. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? When we get saved, we still have an old nature who loves the things of the world. And unless we are looking unto Jesus, wanting to follow Him, going to that throne of grace continually, we can get drawn away by the things of the world, can't we? We can get drawn away into sins. We can get drawn away. And James writes that. He says, do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I have a spirit in me that can get jealous. It's my old nature. And by the way, it can get so jealous that someone who has something that's better than mine, and I get a little jealous, and I get a little ill-favored toward that person. I'm not just jealous, oh, wish I had it. You know, it might thrill me a little bit if they lost theirs. You see what I'm saying? The Bible, God tells us that's how lost our spirit is. We can begin to wish ill to those that are doing better than us in better situations and maybe have what we want. And so that is an evil thing that we have to watch out for. And then what's he say in verse 6? But he giveth more grace. There it is. How do I overcome this thing, preacher? Go to God for grace. Go to God for grace. You can't change you. I can't change me. But God in me can change me, amen. God's Spirit in me can change me. And we can look to Him. We're always looking towards Him. Towards Him. Hebrews 13:25, he ends the book, another place we find grace. Grace be with you all, amen. We mentioned that. That sustaining grace from beginning to end. Paul said he wrote that on all his letters. We're talking about Hebrews being anonymous. We'll look more into that in our Bible study. But in Hebrews 13, 20, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians, did I not put that up there? Let me back up here. James 4, okay. Yeah, I didn't put that up there. In 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that happens to be how Hebrews was ended, but it also happens to be how all the ones that Paul did write and signed that he wrote them, he ended them all that way. Why? Because we need grace. Continually. That sustaining grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. What? And grace shall lead me home. Amen. And grace shall lead me home. And then fifthly and finally, looking at grace in Hebrews, by grace we are established. I use a good King James word there. By grace we are established. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Established with grace. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Some were trying to measure their godliness by their good works. Listen, if we love God, the good works will come forth. But do you understand, you can be faithful to church and not be doing it for God? You can be reading what you call the Bible every day and not be faithful to God. You see, what's the difference? It's the root. It's where the works are coming from that determine whether or not it is true holiness. Amen? There are some cults that live what the world would say cleaner lives than some Christians do, are there not? Brother Travis was kind of talking about that this morning. So many that name the name of Christ, you can't tell them apart from the world. And I think a Christian can even come to that place when they're looking unto Jesus, were established or made strong or settled. See, we don't have to be back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Yeah, if we go back and forth and we repent, you know, and God get it, we get it right. We go back and we repent, we get it right. That happens in our life. But what is God working for? He's working that Jesus Christ would show through us, so those other things become less. We have a forward direction following the Lord. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Multitudes of the sins we were in, we're not going back to. Amen. And that's what God wants. And when that is happening, that is Christ showing forth in you and I. He's showing the more we let Him control, the more we yield to Him, the more He shines through us. Amen. The less we'll stray. We won't get carried away with divers doctrines and those things, and we'll be following Him. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, our Savior, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Established in the faith. Matter of fact, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Acts 20, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. All these things, the grace of God. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. By the way, that word established there and established up front are the same Greek word. Okay, it comes from the same source, and it comes from the same Greek word. Be established in the faith. See how it's picturing the strength of going forward and abounding in the fruits? Becoming established, always growing in the Lord. You know, Hebrews says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Can I say this about that passage and about that thought? Christ isn't always there for us in case we ever need Him. He is always there for us because we always need Him. Amen. He isn't standing at our eternal intercessor in case we ever need Him. He is our eternal intercessor because we always need Him. Every day, with each passing moment, you know, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry nor for fear. And day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. You know, every hour I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. That's our Lord. He is always there because we always need Him. Amen. And we are to be trusting in Him as He leads us through this Christian life, letting us more and more of His power and His grace show through us. And we ever need that grace. The branch is always drawing strength from the vine and can't bear fruit without it. I think about this, and I'll close this morning. You know, we've all heard this before. We might say to God in prayer, "Now, so far today, God, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't done anything that I shouldn't do. I haven't failed to do anything good that I should do. I haven't spoken in any way that I shouldn't. I haven't failed to speak up when I should. Haven't thought some thoughts that I ought not to be thinking. But God, now I'm getting ready to get out of bed. And I'm calling upon you. And, you know, that's the way it is every day for the believer, whether we realize it or not. Whether we realize it or not. We need that grace continually. That grace by which we, of course, are saved, are sanctified. We serve and are sustained. And they miss one and they're established. It's all that grace of God, that unmerited favor, that influence of God working in his power and his grace to glorify Christ. He says, I put my salvation on the inside of you. And now I want you to spend the rest of your life letting the world see more of him and less of me. Just do it. How do I do that? I just do the best what Jesus wants me to do. Amen. And I pray for more grace and strength to do that better, to quit doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, to start doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just that ever drawing closer. You know, we sing that song, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. That's what we spend the rest of our life doing. I may mention it tonight. You say, well, then, preacher, if it's all by grace, why do I fail? God does it all. What are my failures? Can I say one phrase? Here it is. Lack of love. That's it. He is growing our love. Working from the inside out, so that when we forsake our sins, we are wanting to do that not because I can say, there, I'm rid of that one. No, it's so we can say, this grieves my Lord. This grieves Jesus. This breaks his heart. He's working to purify our motives. And as our love grows through the years, we will set more and more sins aside for that reason. Amen. Because we want to love him more. We want to follow. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And all the commandments were put in two, were they not? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? And your neighbor as yourself. There it is. So we constantly have a problem. It can be lack of love. It can be ignorance sometimes. I didn't know that was wrong. Or I didn't realize there was a better way to do that. That thing wasn't acceptable to be done that way. Sometimes it can be ignorance. Sometimes it can be that. But one thing we know, it's never because the world overcomes us. Amen. No. Christ said what? Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we can draw closer to him. And let him shine through us as we yield to his spirit, reflecting his image to the world. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And Father, truly, when our eyes are upon you, our hearts are humbled because we realize that Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. God, we realize that you veiled your glory in a sense for 33 years upon this earth. You were walked among men as the poorest of them. You gave the utmost. Your love so pure, so powerful, so merciful. And through your resurrection, you came not back at this time with flaming fire and vengeance. You came back with grace upon grace to receive all who will simply accept your love, which is offered to us in the gospel. And God, I thank you for that. And Father, we who have received it have, as Brother Travis mentioned this morning, we are salt and light. We do have the spirit of your blessed Son living in us. And dear God, he is powerful. But he is working on our hearts first and foremost. He's working on the things that we love. The things and the people, whatever it might be, that we might love more than you. And Father, you're working patiently with us to help us return love to you. We'll never match the love you've already poured out for us. We'll never get there. God, we'll always be drawing nearer in that, Father. But I thank you that we can be doing that, loving more like you, more selfless, more courageously, more in holiness, God. And Father, we can do that in love for you by the power of your Spirit and the wisdom of your Word. And I pray that you would help us to do that. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.